Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and today we are talking about research from Baylor's Department of Biology that takes a look at something we'll all be seeing this summer, and that is mosquitoes. But it goes way beyond that, and we're going to learn about that from Dr. Chilho Sim, Associate Professor of Biology at Baylor. Dr. Sim's research focuses on vector-borne diseases and genomic studies that can help slow the spread of diseases like the West Nile virus through the suppression of mosquito populations. Dr. Sim leads Baylor's Vector Biology Laboratory, whose motto is driven by science, guided by compassion. That captures the spirit of research that can help people around the world from capturing these infectious diseases. A member of Baylor's Tropical Disease Biology Group, he is also part of a $532,000 plus NSF grant funding research into the roots of diapause, which is the process by which mosquitoes prepare for the winter. And we're going to learn about that and more in the next 20 minutes or so with Dr. Chilho Sim. Dr. Sim, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you here on Baylor Connections today.
Thanks, Mr. Smith, for having me.
Well, it's really great to have you here and to learn more about research. You've recently received this NSF grant, another piece of external funding for your work that we can dive into. And I want to start off by asking, I mentioned your lab slogan is driven by science, guided by compassion. When you think of the way you approach your work, you and your students in your lab, what does that phrase mean to you?
Yeah, in many cases, researchers, scientists like me can be trapped in my own world in a small lab and immerse myself in my own research. So therefore, it is easy to get trapped in my own small world and forget the true meaning of research and life. Not only on the research, but I believe that the meaning of everything depends on how personally I grow through everyday work and how many people's lives get better by my work.
Well, and we're gonna find out more about that because obviously when we're talking about tropical diseases, that's something that impacts billions of people around the world. And to zoom out from that a little bit, if you met a colleague from another department, maybe another department on campus, another discipline, and they asked you, what do you do? What's your research all about? How would you respond?
Yeah. The answer depends on who you are talking to, but if your people is familiar with my research, like so-called expert, I say I'm studying the genetic control of mosquito vector or many infectious diseases. If the other person is not an expert, I say that simply I do research on mosquitoes in general.
Mm-hmm. Mosquitoes and research in general. And if they said, well, what does that look like? If you told me it's mosquitoes and they said, well, what aspect, how do you research mosquitoes? What would you say?
Yeah, so mosquitoes on the eventual goal is to control vector-borne disease, which is transmitted by mosquitoes. So including West Nile virus, and we know that Zika virus was a big issue a couple of years ago. And also the most notorious one is malaria. Malaria can cause more than 500,000 deaths per year. So the best way is to control vector-borne disease is historically suppress and control mosquito population.
Outstanding. Visiting with Dr. Chilho Sim. And Dr. Sim, when did you first become interested in mosquitoes and vector-borne diseases? Where did that spark for you?
Yeah, it started from humble beginning. my hobby is actually collecting insects. It has been my hobby since I was a very young child. I love to go out in the field, collect butterflies and looking for flowers, other insects. It was my hobby when I was very young. And eventually there was a lead to decide my major in biology and entomology in college. So I finished my undergraduate and master's degree, biology and entomology major when I was born in South Korea. Then I decided to join Dr. Frank Collins' lab at University of Notre Dame. And he was a leading expert in mosquito genome studies. And also he was a director of Center for Tropical Disease and Research at University of Notre Dame. So I did my doctoral degree, and it was like yesterday, but it was 20 years ago. And this research center, Center for Tropical Disease and Training, they completed many of the mosquito genome, which is a DNA map. The mosquito, including malaria mosquito, Anopheles gambi, dengue virus vector mosquito, Aedes aegypti, and my mosquito, West Nile virus vector mosquito, Culex pipiens, and many other mosquito genome. So this is where my research began, start with the interest in mosquito genomics and the infectious disease transmitted by mosquitoes.
So from Notre Dame, what brought you to Baylor? How did you join the Baylor faculty? Because it seems like when you talk about being, you know, guided by compassion and helping people, that's something that's a great fit here at Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor has a long history. Many of the former professors working on vector-borne disease. So there is a tradition in Baylor and really good setting, you know, in terms of research lab. And so I that was a time when I found this is a good place to study vector-borne disease.
Visiting with Dr. Chil Ho Sim, Associate Professor of Biology at Baylor. And you mentioned the role malaria can play in deaths around the world a moment ago, but I want to ask you, most of us know mosquitoes spread disease, but maybe for those of us, you know, many of us don't understand the full impact. Mm-hmm. When you think as a scientist, when you think of the role that mosquitoes play in the spread of disease around the world, are there numbers or images? What comes to mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because of COVID epidemics, many people have become aware of more of the importance of infectious disease research now. And in addition, mosquito can transmit many infectious agents, such as viruses, including West Nile virus, Zika virus, and also infectious bacteria and infectious nematode, which is called Fusarium bancrofti, Brugiae malai. And these are parasites infectious. And also most notorious one is a malaria parasite, which is Plasmodium species. And malaria alone can cause more than 500,000 deaths every year. So this is a very big issue. And these vector-borne diseases are transmitted in mostly less developed countries and tropic and subtropic regions where mosquito grows well. However, due to continued climate changes, we know very well in Texas, the disease is spreading more and more new regions and other countries also, including United States.
Dr. Sim, what are some of the questions with that now, as you've described the problem and the challenge? What are some of the questions that you're specifically driven to answer that drive you when you go into work in the morning?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, that controlling effective mosquito population, which we can stop vector-borne disease, including malaria, West Nile, Zika virus, and has been the most successful way is to control vector-borne disease so far. So it was to use chemicals such as a pesticide. This is the most effective way so far. However, in this chemical method, the mosquito population evolves into a resistance mechanism against the pesticide, which is usually average, it takes about every 2 years. It's getting very fast. So eventually chemicals, including pesticide, cannot be used to control mosquito populations. So in our laboratory, we conduct first basic research about mosquito development process, such as a diapause, and the other one is a sex determination process in the mosquitoes. As this research, basic research accumulating, then we eventually seek to find a way to control mosquito population, not by chemical approach, through biological or genetic approaches. That's the main goal in the lab.
Well, I know I spoke to you, it's been a few weeks ago now, about your NSF grant, and it's fascinating to think about. You know, like you said, if they can keep a couple of steps ahead of the chemicals every couple of years, then you got to find a way to get out in front of them. And
yeah, that's exactly.
what you're you're working to do. So let's dive into these different ways mm-hmm. that you just described, whether sex determination or, mm-hmm. or diapause. Let's start with diapause, because I know that's mm-hmm. a big part of the NSF grant that mm-hmm. that you've received. Tell us a little bit about that and what the NSF grant, what kind of research this is funding.
Yeah, so usually NSF research grant focuses on basic science studies. In my case, I'm answering the question of which genes play an important role in mosquito diapause. So to answer that question, I used one of the modern mosquito, Culex pipiens, which is also the main mosquito vector transmitting West Nile virus in the United States. So that is a main the question that I try to answer through this NSF research grant.
Well, let's. What is diapause exactly? What is diapause, and what role does it play in the life cycle of a mosquito?
Yes, mosquito diapause is similar to how polar bears hibernate to get through the winter seasons. So, in diapause, mosquito in a field usually their lifespan is around about a month. But when they start this diapause genetic program, they can survive 5 or 6 months. So this mm-hmm. diapause is mosquito extend their lifespan by 5-6 times more so that they can survive through the over winter. And the diaposing mosquito begin to store 2 or 3 times more body fat. It starts from late summer and also in the fall. So use that the body fat in the winter, because they cannot find the food in the winter season. In addition, it increases resistance to low temperatures, so increase the stress tolerance in a cold temperature. And the most important thing is there is a mechanism to suppress virus replication during diapause time. So nothing's currently known about the mechanism, how this mosquito inhibiting virus replication, including West Nile virus and other virus. So the next spring, they carry over this virus. When they stop diapause, in the spring, the virus replicating again. So in the springtime, they can transmit again those virus. So does the identifying find out which gene plays an important role in each of these diapause traits can lead us to new approach or new insight controlling mosquito population in a winter season, which is the most vulnerable time in terms of mosquito population growth.
So we've all, Dr. Sim, probably misjudged the weather at some point and been, you know, needed a jacket, but we had short sleeves on. It's been too cold in an outdoor event. So what you're basically trying to do is that on some level. Mosquitoes are getting fat and warm and happy for the winter, and you're trying to find out where that gene is to shut that off so that they don't do that. And all of a sudden,
they cannot survive.
They're left exposed. So if you know this process happens, but it's complex, mysterious, Dr. Sim, where do you begin looking for the roots of this?
Yeah, the previously many scientists shows that mosquitoes' perception of environmental cue is from summer to winter is a change in the day and night cycle, which is called photoperiod. So signaling that the photoperiod decreases, the mosquito begin to prepare for winter through a number of different physiological changes, such as I mentioned, increase the body fat, increase the stress tolerance, extend the lifespan, suppress virus replication. In addition, the molecular mechanism for recognizing the change in the photoperiod, which is, from the summer to fall to winter season, daylight cycle getting shorter and shorter and shorter. So somehow they understand mosquito. It's very interesting how these mosquito understand the daylight change, right? So change in a photoperiod is very well known, which is called molecular clock system or called the circadian clock system. So that in this grant, we proposed these circadian clock genes molecular clock system is actually initiating mosquito diapause program. So that's one of the key questions we try to answer, which gene is actually controlling diapause program.
We are visiting with Dr. Chulho Sim, Associate Professor of Biology here at Baylor. And so, you know, that's a phrase most of us have heard in our own lives when we think about our circadian rhythm. You know, sometimes if we're not getting enough sleep or staying up too late, people will talk about that. So when we talk about these clock genes that impact this, they can have a 24-hour cycle impact, but maybe even a much larger impact. The seasonal impact.
Yeah, so that is still a mystery. We tried this hypothesis has been in a scientific group more than 50 years. So these scientists proposed that circadian clock, not only daily life, daily changing the wake and sleep cycle, but also it can have an impact on seasonal change. As we know, many human disease has a seasonal change. There are more depression in a winter season. Something like those kind of seasonal change, but it was not quite, we don't have any clear answer for, is there any clear tangible link from circadian clock system to the seasonal change? So we are focusing on basic science in mosquito, but impact, we show the link from daily life, daily cycle change of clock genes, somehow how they link to the seasonal change, which is, we have no clue between these huge puzzles. So we hope we try to find out that some basic science.
You talked about, genomic studies as it relates to mosquitoes and sequencing. Mm-hmm. You talk about the puzzle there. What tools in genomic studies allow you to kind of search for the pieces of the puzzle that fit together? If we were to peek over your shoulder as you and your colleagues and students are conducting this research, what might we see you doing?
So the basic question we are focusing right now is the four genes in a circadian clock system, which is the gene name is very interesting gene name, which is timeless, period, PDP1, and cyclin, which is transcription factors. So we try to understand that in order to regulate the expression and inhibition of these four core clock genes, we need a genome, which is a DNA map, which will provide where each gene located in the mosquito chromosome. Since the genetic information of Culex pipiens mosquitoes was already decoded 10 years ago, so we can get the desired information, what we want, through genome database, which is called vector base. So it's more like if you want to get to the dollars in a certain mall, you use a Google map, so you get to the point where you want to go, and which is a very similar way that you can have genetic information using this genome database, which is we call that vector base. It's more like using Google Maps.
Visiting with Dr. Chulho Sim from Baylor Biology. And I think that's such a mysterious process to most of us. You describe it so well as like Google Maps, but what are some of the things you look for as you study the map? Are there things that when you see them makes your antenna go up, that makes your pulse quicken a little bit? What are some of the things you keep an eye out for as you look through this very, very big map?
Yeah, so after we find out these location of each gene has a unique structure. We call the exon and intron and 5' UTR, 3' UTR. It's a little bit of complex structures. Now we have a new tool. It's like we call that genetic scissor. So you can precisely cut and insert a certain DNA in your target gene. So this is called CRISPR-Cas9 systems. So you cut in a certain part of the DNA sequence so that it cannot produce a certain their target activity proteins. So that means we call that this is a gene knockout. So you suppress certain gene, your target gene, so that you want to find out what their functions are. If there's no inactive this gene, that means they cannot perform their expression. So they might lose daily cycle or weight and sleep cycle, which might lead to the stopping diapause phenotypes. So this we are trying to do, use that CRISPR-Cas9 genetic scissor. The other technology right now is that when we have a human genome, one human genome costs more than more than $2 billion. But now we have next generation sequencing technologies. So if you want to have your own gene, it costs $1,000.
Oh, wow.
So you see that last 20 years, the technology is a revolutionized whole field. So this next generation sequencing and allow us to look at the whole genome, not in a one gene, whole genome, what change happens. So using those next generation sequencing technology, we can actually find out a gene, how they control other genes. So those are the two things that we use in the lab.
That's great. Well, Dr. Sim, as we head into the final couple of minutes, I want to ask, you know, your research, you know, you mentioned mm-hmm. that some of these theories have been around, you know, for 20 or 50 years, but technology is advancing so rapidly that it changes
right.
your ability to determine things. I know you're kind of in, this is a long game that you're playing, right? This
right,
is a
right.
long haul kind
yeah.
of game. How should we view the timeline on this and the work that you and people, you know, who do similar work are doing as you fight uh-huh. vector-borne diseases and tropical diseases?
Yes, to answer the complex issue, it takes a long time.
sure.
So yeah, research on mosquito diapause and molecular clock has now just started. So next 10 years, our lab will focus on foundational research, which is in control these types of phenotype diapause. And after that, we hope that we can apply this new knowledge, apply this in the, as I mentioned before, biological tools and genetic tools, so Wolbachia and sex ratio change scheme. We hope to apply this technology to endemic regions of vector-borne diseases next 10 years.
That's great. Well, we'll look forward to seeing, you know, as you work on this NSF grant in the years ahead, what comes of that and continuing to follow along as you fight tropical diseases with your colleagues around
thank
the world
you.
For sure. Well, Dr. Sim, thank you so much for taking the time to take something uh-huh. complex and break it down for us so we can understand and sharing the work you do. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you
thank
for
you.
Having me.
Dr. Chilho Sim, Associate Professor of Biology at Baylor, our guest today here on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith, a Rhyme reminder. You can hear this and other programs online at baylor.edu/connections. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.